Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com. If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com. As men get older, they are subject to hormone imbalance. And when this happens, men can experience osteoporosis, memory loss, irritability, blood sugar imbalance, weight gain, enlarged prostate, erectile dysfunction, and risk of stroke. The human endocrine system manufactures hormones. Why not feed your system plant nutrition to make the hormones that are right for you? For centuries, these herbs have been used to balance the male hormone system. Men, you've waited long enough for the male hormone formula. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free 866-229-3663 for the male hormone formula. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. 866-229-3663, where your healthcare options just became endless.
As we age, there can be many reasons why we feel tired, have memory issues, gain weight, struggle with stress, or feel depressed. These symptoms can be indicators that the adrenal glands that sit on top of your kidneys need metabolic strengthening. There are herbs known to improve adrenal gland function, circulation, blood pressure, skin, muscle, and bone strength. Why suffer with weakness when you can use gland-strengthening medicinal herbs? Empower yourself with the organic balance chemistry in the adrenal gland formula. You will remove the risk of megadoses and offer specific nutrition the body needs. Call Apothecary Herbs now for their adrenal gland formula, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. That's Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
The ancient Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for thyme tincture and tea to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com. Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 for international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
1, 2, 3.
Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. We're here to empower you. That's what we like to do. Magical engineer Frank and I have a great show, and thanks for joining us on the American Voice Radio Network. We are going to be talking about this drug link to heart attacks. And we're also going to be talking about some behavioral changes when you get heavy metals in the system and what we may be able to do about that. So we got two huge topics to talk about and a quack report. So we got to get to it. But before we do that, big salute and semper fi to righteous men and women in uniform and all of us, a God-fearing children of God in the United States. Today's devotional is in Psalms 34, and it says, "The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate." And also, Nehemiah 1 says, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows them that trust in him." Amen. And if you haven't found the Lord, now's the time. Mind the time, it grows short, because that is the way. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thanks, Frank. Okay, over-the-counter sleeping pills are in the quacker. First up here, linked to increasing the risk of dementia, according to some researchers. They say that a lot of these pharmaceutical drugs aggravate brain degeneration that even hastens dementia. So some of the most prominent sleeping pills have anticholinergics in them. And these are the kind of drugs that are, you know, usually given for sleeping disorders. So this recent study says that it makes the person vulnerable. The anticholinergic drugs stop an activity called acetylcholine. It's an important neurotransmitter that bonds to your nerve cells. And so the central and peripheral nervous systems actually rely on those chemicals to activate your various other body functions. See, we're all connected here. So low levels of the acetylcholine is going to hamper things like muscle contraction, some other body functions. Will also decrease the number of brain cells, which can leave the person confused, for having forgetfulness and other such conditions that, you know, patients, it's linked to cognitive health. So that's your sleeping pills. Plus, you don't want to get in the habit of using sleeping pills because they lead to rebound effect, which means you'll have sleeping problems worse than when you started. So do your homework. Moving along the quack report, they say the cinnamon bark has phenopropanoids that can prevent amyloid formation. What that means is amyloid proteins have been linked, they say, to Alzheimer's disease in the brain. So these are researchers out of Dankook University in Korea, And they were testing a hypothesis that cinnamon bark, dried cinnamon bark, has components that are effective against Alzheimer's disease. And the results of their study demonstrated that the cinnamon bark reduces those amyloid proteins. They're called beta amyloid proteins. And the research, if you want to check it out, is in the Journal of Nutrition Research. So a little cinnamon. I love cinnamon. It's in the, Frank, it's in the liver detox tea. I drink that because it tastes good. It's just great stuff. All right. Last but not least in the Quack Report, hidden sugar. A lot of food companies are disguising the presence of sugar so their product looks healthier. You may have, been on to the other terms. You're savvy. You guys know fructose, corn syrup, glucose indicate, sugar presence in a product. But you may want to look for things also disguised as evaporated cane juice, maltose, barley malt, cane juice crystals, fruit juice concentrate, syrups. These are all tip-offs. Malt syrup, rice bran syrup, agaves, nectar, oat syrup, all forms of sugars you might want to consider before you purchase a product having that. Also, you know how the ingredients list is supposed to be the most prominent ingredient has to be listed first in an order of prevalence? Well, how the manufacturers that load sugar into the product to make it taste better and more addictive to you, what they do is they'll kind of sprinkle these sugar ingredients throughout the list. But when you multiply them all together, they should be the first ingredient on the list. So be aware of that. And that wraps the Quack Report. Thanks, Frank. Yeah, I was just talking with someone today about, the FDA and label lists and stuff and, letting them know FDA tests nothing. They don't test any products. They rely on all that material to be provided for them by the product manufacturer or the drug company. So they're taking, on your honor kind of thing. All right, we're going to be talking about, first up, the drug link with heart attacks. Now, I've mentioned this health risk of the pain medications before, but recent research has really amplified this warning. University of Copenhagen out of Denmark is showing that if you take the common over-the-counter painkillers, you have an increased risk of experiencing a heart attack. So the warnings on the painkillers may not include suitable warnings, and consumers are assuming the over-the-counter pain medication is safe. So previous medical reports have stated that non-steroidal anti-inflammatory painkillers are safe when this may not be the case. So we're going to review this topic again, look at the new research that's showing that, hey, we need to take another look. We need to be careful. We need to be educated on these products, as well as know what, safe, suitable, healthy substitutes may be at our disposal. Right? And why risk, the heart attack and other problems if there's other things available? And, there is. I truly believe God didn't expect us to need a pharmaceutical industry to be healthy. And he says herbs are here for the service man and healing of the nations. And we already know God can't lie. So we're going to check this out and see what our options are. But first, we got to take a little break. Be right back.
Two million Americans manage sleep apnea instead of resolving it. Sleep apnea increases risk of heart disease, depression, and death. New research from Rutgers University states the thyroid manufactures hormones used as neurotransmitters to regulate breathing during sleep. This suggests the thyroid gland needs balancing to address sleep apnea. So forget the CPAP machine. Call Apothecary Herbs for their sleep apnea herb formulas to remove cellular stress and feed the thyroid the nutrition it needs for better sleep. Call now to order 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. 929-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Money back guarantee with our organic professional strength formulas, because if you're serious about herbs, you need apothecary herbs. Are you prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
I feel like I'm in the Sahara. All right, we're going to be talking about this link, drug link, to your heart attacks and other things as we get into this. You know, we're going to look at the research. This Danish study, what they did is they used data from the cardiac arrest registry. They looked at like 3,300 patients who were identified as taking painkillers at least 30 days before they had their heart attack. So the most common painkiller that patients were using was the ibuprofen by about 51% of the time. So the report stated that if you're taking such painkillers, it advances your risk of heart attack by 31 to 50%. Okay. Here's a quote from a Gunnar Gislason. He's a medical doctor, a cardiologist. He says this, the pain medications offer such risk factors that they should be used under prescription and a physician care or avoid them altogether. He goes on to say, these painkillers trigger platelets involved in clotting, causing the arteries to constrict, increasing the fluid retention and raising the blood pressure. Also, Peter Weisberg, he's a medical doctor, he's director of the British Heart Foundation. He says it has been known for some years that such drugs need to be used with caution in patients with heart disease. This also applies to those who take non-steroidal anti-inflammatories on a daily basis rather than only occasionally. End of quote. Ooh, so you don't have to be a heart patient to be at risk if you're taking these things pretty irregularly. So, well, let's look at some previous research because this finding is really not new due to previous research that got published in the September 2016 British Medical Journal citing the link between the pain medicines and heart attacks. So the study involved 10 million people with an average age of 77 years. And it was not just age as a factor. The research looked at people in the Netherlands, Italy, and Germany, as well as the UK, and they compared them to those not taking the non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. So here's what the British Heart Foundation said. If you must take non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, patients should take the lowest dose possible and for the shortest possible time. And then, of course, Dr. Weisberg, medical director, British Heart Foundation, says this is a large observational study, and it reinforces previous research showing that some non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs commonly taken by patients for joint problems increase the risk of heart failure. Oh, my word. So outside of heart disease, what can we expect? Well, what can we expect from the painkiller meds if we don't have heart disease? And this is a really good question, as most of the studies in the last few years focused on patients who had heart problems. So a pharmacist by the name of Helen Williams is also an expert pharmacist on cardiovascular disease for the Royal Pharmacological Society in the UK. And she has confirmed that most studies focused on older patients with heart disease, which were in an increased risk bracket for heart attacks anyway. And she has also noted most of the heart patients have additional add-on conditions. Here's what she says. She says hypertension, diabetes, and perhaps kidney problems in heart patients, and they add on additional drugs on top, which may be a small enough increase to manifest a risk. So she's pointing to multiple health problems and drug therapies that could also be adding to the heart attack risk. So younger patients who use the non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs are told by their doctors, hey, the drugs are safe for occasional use for your aches and pains. And we're also told the real risk is for patients over 70 years of age, over 70. However, that may not be all the truth. And what do we know about that? Not all the truth. Well, half the truth is still a whole lie. Benjamin Franklin. Yeah. Well, here is what Helen Williams, the pharmacist, says again. She says, I would say if you are a young person and you are regularly taking these drugs all the time, you should probably be supervised by a physician because there are issues with these drugs with regard to your kidneys. End of quote. All right. Well, and then there's that stroke factor, too, associated with these types of drugs. Now, in July 2014, the Medical Daily reported on the over-the-counter pain medicines increasing the risk of stroke by 19%. So the FDA wanted to place warnings on the painkillers, and some of the painkillers already contained soft warnings that would go something like this, may cause increased risk of heart attack or stroke. So the FDA was considering rewording the warning to make it more explicit to be something like this product will cause increased risk of heart attack and stroke. So in any event, there have been numerous studies warning of the heart events of about 30 to 50% associated with taking the painkillers. So your risk is significant. So the risk is up there, and the consumers really should be well informed. And the problem is consumers look at all these over-the-counter products as a very safe product, and they forget that at one time these products were only available by prescription. Now, here's to give you perspective. If aspirin were discovered today, it would be required to be under a prescription. Think about it. Aspirin. Yeah, the acetylsalicylic acid. Aspirin. All right, let's look at other health problems now. The non-steroidals have other side effects that consumers tend to not see or hear about. They can cause gastrointestinal health problems. And research is reporting that these medications offer 2- to 4-fold increased risk of digestive malfunction. So the next time you reach for the painkiller drug, think about what Dr. Judy Rasmussen of the FDA said. I'll read you her quote. She says, now she is with the FDA, director of the FDA's Division of Anesthesia, Analgesia, and Addiction Products. Analgesia is pain relief, analgesic. So here's what she said. There is no period of use shown to be without risk. Today we know that the risk of heart attack and stroke may occur early in treatment, even in the first week. Think about that for a second. You don't have to be on it that long for that risk to kind of mount up there. And also, this is Dr. Gunnar Gilslawson, MD, cardiology. He says, long-term use of non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs can cause gastric inflammation and stomach bleeds. Okay. So what other side effects should we be concerned about? Well, there are multiple side effects when you use pain medicines, and whether you're taking such drugs, you really should avoid drinking alcohol to avoid excessive damage to your liver, okay? And all these drugs really stress liver. Now, prescribed pain medications do come with a risk of dependency and addiction, and in nearly every case, these drugs make your muscles of the digestive tract sluggish, and it can really cause a lot of constipation. So when you're blocking nerve pain, you're blocking the nerve endings that stimulate the colon muscles to move the fecal matter, and this is why people get constipated. So Other side effects people have reported are dry mouth, nausea, vomiting, drowsiness, sleep apnea, chest pain, abnormal heartbeat, kidney problems, and difficulty urinating. Well, what about the new labeling? Well, we've seen some of it already. Since 2014, they have made some changes. The new FDA warning labeling for prescription and over-the-counter pain medicines has been rolled out to some extent. This includes pain medicines, which may include your aspirin product. Now, it seems that accumulated use of these drugs has produced a mountain of evidence that the drugs are more dangerous than they previously thought. So the new warnings let consumers know that if they take these pain medications, they run the risk of experiencing a fatal stroke or heart attack. Now, it appears that this warning is not limited just to your heart patients or those with some sort of cardiovascular disease. So the new warnings target the non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, and we're told that aspirin by itself really doesn't offer the same risk. However, long-term use of aspirin seems to be linked to an increased risk of macular degeneration of the eyes. Now, consumers will soon see a lot of new warning labels for such products like Aleve, ibuprofen, Motrin, Advil, naproxen, acetaminophen, Tylenol products, Celebrex, these things. So these are millions of Americans are on these drugs right now, putting themselves really at grave risk, because the research is showing that even small amounts of these drugs can kill you. Yeah. And not everybody's pain threshold is the same. And so what will the warnings actually be saying? Well, for your acetaminophen type products, the labels will include in bold letters that it can produce severe liver damage. If you're using anticoagulants, you might want to consult your physician first. For your non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, the warning will state risk of severe stomach bleeding. Although many of these products did have heart attack risk warnings on them since 2005, the new evidence is strengthening the warning and warrants a significant label change due to the fact that you don't have to be on the drug but a few days to invite the heart attack and stroke risk. Here is a quote from Bruce Lamar, Northwestern University specialist in drug safety. He says, one of the underlining messages for this warning has to be there are no completely safe pain relievers, period, end of quote. And we're going to take a little break, but when we come back, we're going to talk about our options. So don't go anywhere. Be right back.
Have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit, toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared.
Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
We're talking about drugs that can increase your risk of stroke, heart attack, kidney failure, intestinal bleeding, and so forth and so on. And, you know, some people say, well, I don't take it that often, and I take the lowest dose possible. Yeah, let's ask about that. What about low dose? Well, here is what Emory University Professor of Medicine and Public Health Peter Wilson says about these drugs and their dosage. Okay, so here's what he said. Here is the rule of thumb for estimating the risk from non-aspirin, the non-steroidal anti-inflammatories. The over-the-counter doses, the lowest available, increase your heart attack and stroke by 10%. Low prescription doses increase the risk by 20%. High prescription doses could increase the risk as much as 50%. Such risks are especially dangerous for those over the ages of 65 or who have cardiovascular risk factors. So if you are in the habit of taking these drugs for headaches or mild pain, you may want to reconsider, end of quote. Well, that's enough for me. Not that I was taking the stuff anyway. Well, what are the options, Miss Wendy? Well, there are other options, you know, if you want to deal with pain rather than risk your organs to destruction or at risk addiction or even death. There are herbs that offer pain receptor blocks like analgesics do, which are much safer, gentler, and have zero risk. So herbs like peppermint with ice topically are very effective at pain for pain. Now, if for anti-inflammatory pain action relief, there's also willow bark and meadow sweet herb. You can use those internally. And there are many herbs which are useful for headache pain, such as your feverfew, your valerian root, skullcap root, even ginger root is very effective for headache and headache pain. And you're going to find a lot of these options at Apothecary Herbs. They do have the regular and extra strain pain anti-inflammatory formula. They do have the peppermint leaf, the ginger root, the valerian root. They have a whole line of headache formulas for tension headaches, stress headaches, and migraine headaches. They also offer metabolic strengthening formulas for the cardio. So give them a, you know, check it out. Give them a call. They have a toll-free number in the U.S. and Canada, and the number is 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. They do have a website. Check it out there, thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. Hey, that's where your healthcare options just became endless. They just got in their 2019 product catalog, which you can go on their website and order. A hard copy can be mailed to you. You can get a download link, and you can load it to your computer or tablet and have it there. And it's perfectly free. It's totally free. So you can just do that. And they're also rolling out their Mother's Day special. So you'll be getting the 20% off on orders of $50 or more. They just also added some new products. You'll see them in the new catalog. They are also offering, for those especially with nerve pain, the hemp CBD oil. So you can check that out. They have that in a couple of different flavors. If you want to check that out on their website or give them a call for more information or get a catalog because it's in there. So you got new stuff. Isn't that great? Yeah, new stuff. So thepowerherbs.com launching their Mother's Day special, and that runs through the 12th of May. So now's the time if you were thinking about, you know, doing your cleansing before the summer and you get busy, or if you just wanted to get, you know, some natural pet products, or stock up on your immune support formulas for next fall and winter, this is a great time to do that. ThePowerHerbs.com, 866-229-3663. Check it out. Okay, we're going to shift gears and we're going to be talking about heavy metals in the body. Let me ask you, Frank, do you suppose heavy metals change a person's personality? You ever wonder about that? You know, do heavy metals change a person's personality? Well, there are reports by scientific experts that certain products or treatments, when they're given early enough, can alter a patient's behavior. Well, Frank's saying heavy metal music alters behavior. Well, I can understand where that's coming from there, Frank. But we're talking about, you know, heavy metals internally. So there have been treatments that have been put on the record that heavy metals will alter a person's behavior. So what if these treatments are promoted as health benefits and then the individuals getting them are unaware that the treatments could also alter their personality? It's not informed consent. And what if people could have their personality significantly altered through the introduction of certain elements often found now in your vaccines? These are the questions research is delving into, and we're going to check this out. We're going to look at Dr. Edward Groth. He conducted some research on the acceptable levels of mercury or methyl mercury that you find that you can find in your diet, usually in things like fish, and also from vaccines with the mercury, the thermosol in them. So he wanted to see what the exposure levels would do to also fetuses and small children. Now, his findings got published in the European Environmental Bureau in Belgium, December 2012. So this epidemiological research on the effects of methyl mercury on a developing brain, a fetus, is significant, he says. He says national and international government agencies have defined and published the safe or tolerable level of exposure to mercury. However, Dr. Groth's group challenged those safe guidelines and proclaims them to be not safe at all. So he says the World Health Organization has defined that if you call the upper limit of safe for mercury, he says that's not safe at all. He reports that there is really no definitive line drawn between safe and unsafe exposure to mercury because it will vary from one person to another. Sort of like, you know, your pain threshold, Frank's different than mine, you know. I've known a lot of people that, you know, can take a lot of pain. And you probably have heard people that, you know, it takes more anesthesia to knock them out. So not everybody's tolerance level is the same. And so this is what Dr. Groth was saying. So these safety levels that we hear from pharmaceutical companies, the health department, World Health Organization, you name it, he says it doesn't really matter. There's no safe line because people are all different. Nonetheless, governments and health authorities outline their safe levels for a general reference point. So in 1999, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency declared that there is a clear adverse effect if children have 58 milligrams of methyl mercury per liter of blood. However, there is an uncertainty factor with a level of 5.8. So medicine uses this uncertainty factor in determining the line between harmful exposure and the safe level dose. However, there is an unknown factor such as to the difference in sensitivities to toxins within individuals. So it should be noted that the World Health Organization, their exposure guideline to mercury is 2.3 times higher than the U.S. recommendation. So this difference between exposure limits will highlight the subjectivity within scientific research and how they judge the established defining limits. So who is judging or interpreting the data and weighing in on the uncertainties that influence the outcome for millions of people? Well, if such data is reviewed by someone with ties to products containing mercury, this can also be a significant factor, right? Absolutely. Well, let's look at, we're past our break. No, we got a few minutes. Yeah, we got a few minutes. Okay, well, let's look at the mercury disease. According to Dr. Groth, there are significant researches, studies available that have exposed the devastating effects of mercury disease. He says, for instance, if we get enough mercury, it is a poison and it triggers damage to the central nervous system, also known as Minamata disease. So the symptoms of tingling of the extremities, tingling in the face, tunnel vision and hearing loss are the symptoms of that. So the disease can progress to loss of coordination, staggering gait, speech and memory problems. So these symptoms mimic many neurological diseases present today and have reached a pandemic level like MS and Parkinson's and Alzheimer's and autism. So if mercury is introduced early enough, such as during pregnancy or during infancy, the mercury damages brain development. If given in high enough doses, children are severely disabled and cannot walk, speak, or care for themselves. Smaller doses of mercury can cause hyperactivity, attention deficit disorders, delayed mental development, psychomotor development delays, dyslexia, delayed verbal or language ability, visual recognition and memory problems, lower IQ scores, and poor motor coordination ability. So Dr. Groth is also discovering that some proteins or other nutrients can hide the negative effects of mercury toxicity. Well, isn't that something? Let's look at fish, because you know people say, well, you're probably getting too much mercury in your fish. Well, according to government reports, 70% of fish sold in the U.S. market has mercury readings of about 0.1 parts per million. So most of the seafood you get is imported from China, and if we trust the reports on that, well, I don't think so. But science says that any mercury over one part per million is considered a problem. So now we're told that cultures with more fish in their diet will have more mercury of about two parts per million. So the Asians, for instance, people, Mediterranean folk, get a lot of fish. Now, the subjective difference in the research is to establish that safe limit, illustrating, you know, what's a safe methylmercury level. It's more of a question than a certainty, because a decade ago, science told us, you know, the doses of mercury that would produce adverse effects were 5 to 10 times higher than the current studies. We got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Everyone is afraid of pain. No one wants pain to rule over their life, and you don't want the negative side effects of aspirin, ibuprofen, or prescription drugs. They can lower immunity and cause dependency. Is there a safe alternative? I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson, and I prefer willow bark and meadow sweet herbs to control pain, fever, aches, and inflammation. God's herbs are good, and you won't be disappointed. Call Apothecary Herbs for pain or extra strength pain relief formula. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International, 704-875-8010, or online, thepowerherbs.com. Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Okay, we're talking about these heavy metals creating behavioral problems. And right before the break, we were listing that, you know, government safe levels is questionable. Now, the EPA is saying they recommend 5.8 levels of mercury. They suggest that would, you know, cover the mercury toxicity problem. But Dr. Groth is saying that we need new mercury guidelines to be like 0.025, which is a quarter of what the U.S. allowance is. Now, there was some research on the acceptable or questionable levels of mercury, and it got me wondering about, you know, the blood levels of mercury in vaccinated children. So according to this PubMed report, this is a 2008 study, University of Rochester, regarding mercury levels in newborns and infants after they got vaccinated that had thermosol or mercury in it, their blood level showed 5.0%. The study concluded that the body uses the digestive tract to void out the mercury, which is the last stop of toxin removal, usually for the human body. So the digestive tract is a way to void out the mercury, according to what medical professionals are saying. So your body gets rid of the heavy metal. However, is the mercury gone from the body? According to Dr. Thomas Burbaker, he is a professor of environmental and occupational health science and research at the University of Washington, Seattle. He says no. He says in his report at the University of Rochester on mercury in the blood of infants, it gets filtered out through the bowel, and it's not the whole story, he says. He reports that mercury levels may drop in the blood a few days after the vaccine or exposure to mercury, but not before the mercury travels to the brain, causing developmental problems. He also states that in order for the mercury to exit the blood to the bowel, it has to travel through the kidneys, which he says are very sensitive to mercury exposure. He also stated that the body deals with ethyl mercury used in your vaccines differently than methyl mercury you get like in seafood. So the research team concluded that your methyl mercury exposure guidelines in adults may also not be accurate for risk assessments in children. They have to redo the thermosol containing vaccine risk factor. Here's what the Journal of American Medical Association reported in 1988. They say minimal brain damage is the single most prevalent disability reported by elementary schools. And what do elementary schools require before starting school? Vaccine. Well, let's look at the toxic mercury. Now, Dr. Brubaker, mercury, he says mercury compounds are very toxic to the brain, your central nervous system, and your immune system. He said mercury can cross your blood-brain barrier. Therefore, pregnant women being vaccinated with influenza vaccines, for instance, are also vaccinating the unborn baby, and the fetus is adversely neurologically affected. So medicine has never studied small amounts of mercury to be safe. So how the infant metabolism deals with this mercury has really never been assessed, he says. He goes on to say the type of mercury used in vaccines is technically ethyl mercury. According to the research, the ethyl mercury is converted to methyl mercury and travels to your brain, leaves twice the amount of methyl mercury in your body, and then it's considered to be an organic mercury that is combined now with carbon. So methylmercury is the type of mercury found also in your fish. And it does cross your blood-brain barrier and is considered to be more dangerous in organic ethyl mercury. So inorganic mercury is combined with a non-carbon substance that's used in your medicines. Most of the safety data on mercury references the methylmercury obtained via the diet. So health authorities have really no safe levels of reference with regard to the mercury in vaccines. They're using a different mercury level found in fish, which is totally different. So therefore, regarding vaccines and the autism question, he says medical science is focused on biased studies, which he calls agenda research. Well, let's look at some other mercury toxicity studies. Italian scientist Gaian Polo Vanoli, in his research, he stated that methylmercury in vaccines causes behavioral changes in animals. He says the mercury affects the endocrine system responsible for making and managing their hormones. So Dr. Vanoli especially mentions that sex hormones are also affected and has made controversial discoveries that the mercury in vaccine causes animals that were normally heterosexual to become homosexual. So in his writing, he suggests that there's this influence of mercury in regard to magnified substance, and also it is accumulative for successive generations. And he states the DNA of the next generation is effective as parents pass on the altered state, and therefore Dr. Vanoli considers homosexuality to be a disease which does not respect the order of life. He also states that the homosexuality produced by mercury toxicity to be a microform of autism. He also says this is why each successive generation, the rates of autism and homosexuality are excelling. Modern science, he says, however, does not confirm this or endorse his research. And according to medical historian and writer Harris Coulter, PhD, the diagnostic and statistical manual that's published by the American Psychiatric Association consists of 80 pages of neurological conditions he suspects to be caused by vaccination. And he reported that 15 to 20% of school-age children in the United States have some form of developmental or neurological problem. The school-age children in the United States have some problem. And he suggests the social violence and the personality disorders, like narcissistic personality disorder or sociopathic disorders, he says can be very well linked to vaccines. So he explains that the vaccines containing mercury cause encephalitis or swelling of the brain. This leads to post-encephalitic conditions and personality disorders. So how can he make these claims? Well, his research has led him to uncover the following. In the 1930s, vaccine programs were instituted. In the 1940s, cases of autism children started to appear. After World War II, vaccine programs were expanded and autistic cases increased significantly. First generation of vaccine babies of 1945 now have reading problems. New developmental problems appeared, learning disabilities, hyperactivity, dyslexia, then lower IQs by 1963. The 40s generation on military exams for service were evident as well. IQ scores from the 40s, vaccine children were scoring higher by about 70-point difference. So he said also violent crime increases associated with post-encephalitic syndromes. He also said increased in crimes of sexual nature, increase in crimes committed by those with a lack of remorse. He says there's an increase in drug dependency, alcohol, and illegal drugs. He also mentions homosexuality and post-encephalitic syndrome cases, and Europe has similar demographics, but to a lesser extent, just what he reported. Now, according to the Developmental Delay Registry, there has been an alarming rise in the number of developmental delayed children in the just past decade. There's a psychiatrist, Dr. Leo Kanner. He wanted to see how many learning disabilities and behavioral problems were reported in children right as mandated vaccines were getting established. In 1943, he found only 11 cases. Further research by Kenner proved that the children were suffering from an epidemic of encephalitis caused by the infectious inflammation in the brain by vaccines. He said, combine mercury with disease and this is what you get. In 1997, there were about 200,000 reported cases of encephalitis in the United States. It is reasonable, he says, to conclude that there are many more cases going unreported by medicine. Pediatric Journal of 1967, Volume 39, says this, it is highly probable that autoimmunity and developmental disabilities are interlinked by vaccine-induced encephalitis, end of quote. Wow. So according to another author, Harris Coulter, of the book Vaccination, Social Violence, and Criminality, the attack on the human brain by scientific medicine is a guarded secret. He says he reports that the scientific research has existed since 1922 and that this shows that vaccines cause inflammation of the brain, encephalitis, and especially is prevalent with your DPT vaccine. He goes on to say the clinical research of the common disabilities on vaccines is positive. So there's a short attention span and poor retention and concentration skill in the kids, hyperactivity and impulsive behavior, temper tantrums, rage and hostility, self-absorbed alienation and abusive behaviors, clumsiness and poor coordination. Is that why your kid couldn't get, you know, on the basketball team or the baseball team? Also, somewhat less severe symptoms, he reports, are stubbornness, low frustration threshold, genital fixation, lack of respect for person or property, obsessive compulsive disorders, and tics and twitches. And I'm running out of time to, finish this report. And there's so much more. But the point is, I think, is we need to do our due diligence and stand up for what's right, because God gave us a responsibility to look after our children's welfare. If you do not have a physician's warranty of vaccine safety, you can find that on the internet. If you can't find it, do contact Apothecary Herbs. The folks at Apothecary Herbs will send it to you through the email free of charge or mail it to you in the mail. This will help any parent that's struggling with the vaccine agenda, and you definitely want to arm yourself with something like that. So give the folks at Apothecary Herbs a call, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. They also have a couple of products you want to ask about that helps reverse a vaccine. So a lot of people call for that, and very effective. So give them a call, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Best thing, though, is to avoid vaccines as much as you can. Do your homework on them. Be safe out there. Don't forget, Mother's Day special, 20% off now through the 12th on orders of $50 or more at thepowerherbs.com. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease, so seek medical advice if you dare from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, wishing you all to be well.